Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friar Faithful Chronicle podcast. Trevor Huth here. I am joined by the man himself, Deegs. Deegs, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. How are you doing, man? I haven't talked to you in quite a bit since this whole quarantine thing's been going down, but how are you holding up over there?
Doing well. Still working every day, you know, working in radio. I'm essential media, so I'm still going into work every day. It's normal for me, except for the fact that, you know, everything is about COVID-19. How are you holding up?
I'm all right. I'm hanging out in my apartment in Milwaukee, doing a lot of work online. Obviously, you know, baseball's not happening right now, so there's not a lot to talk about. But we're managing, and you know, just staying safe, staying inside, and just praying that this will get over sooner rather than later.
Absolutely, and you know, we have something to talk about because you did just update the FFC top 50 prospects, and that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, man. So this list was supposed to drop on opening day, but you know, we just kind of decided that, you know, everyone's dropping lists right now, and we decided as a staff that we weren't gonna, you know, publish it into a post, but that we were just gonna talk about it on the podcast. So what we're gonna do today is we have 50 prospects ranked. We're gonna talk about 50 through 31 in this podcast, and then in the next one, obviously, we'll talk about I think 30 through 11 is what we discussed, and then the top 10 will have their own show, just because we'll get into the meat and potatoes right there. But yeah, I think we're gonna break this down from 50 to 41 to start. So Trevor, if you want to go ahead and just kick this thing off, let's get rolling, big guy.
Yeah. So like I said, we're gonna start 50 to 41 here. We'll get a little bit about each, and then we'll kind of dive into some more detail on a couple of these guys that we like a little bit better, or whether that be because they're good or we just like them. And I'm talking to me on the second part there. So yeah, starting at 50, heading down to 41. At 50, Ethan Skender. At 49, Jordy Barley. 48 is Chris Lincoln. 47 is Matt Brash. 46 is Charlie Sacchino. 45 is Dylan Coleman. 44 is Brian Medina. 43, Duanier Williams Sutton. 42, Gerardo Reyes. And 41, David Bednar. And so I know a couple of my guys on this list, but I will hold off for a moment and pass it over to you so you can tell us a little bit about these guys.
Yeah, so Skender, I'm just going to let you talk about Skender, but he's at 50. Jordy Barley is kind of a twitchy shortstop that was kind of a big-time signee when he was brought in. Hasn't really put it together yet, but, you know, there's potential there. Chris Lincoln and Matt Brash are two 2018 draft guys. They're both reliever profiles. Both throw pretty hard. Lincoln is actually kind of like this mega athlete with a really live arm. So I actually like his chances of getting into a big league bullpen one day. Probably my favorite player of this group is Charlize Aquino, a guy who, again, signed out of the Dominican in 2018. Has, you know, he put together a pretty solid season in 2019 through the DSL and the Arizona Rookie League. Sure-handed fielder, can definitely stick at short moving forward, in my opinion. Dylan Coleman is a guy that you and I have talked about quite a bit. 6'6", big physical presence out of Missouri State, another 2018 guy. You know, in his draft year, he was regularly sitting in the upper 90s, and last year came out 90-92, pretty solid breaking ball. But again, that dip in velocity is going to make it hard for him to, you know, consistently get outs as he moves up. Some people think it's an injury thing. Others think it's just dead arm, kind of what happened to Ryan Weathers. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes out firing when the season, or if the season, starts back up. Brian Medina was a 2019 international signing, coveted as one of the top arms in this class, up to 96 as a 16-year-old. Duanya Williams Sutton is one of your favorite dudes, so again, I'll let you touch on him. And then Gerardo Reyes and David Bednar, two guys that have been up in the big leagues already. Reyes, obviously, flamethrower, throws from 98-99 from an unconventional sidearm slot, but he lacks control. Bednar is the guy who was really interesting coming out of college. He was a starter. The Padres made him a reliever. Mid to upper 90s fastball with a devastating splitter. I think he's probably the best bet of this bunch to be an impact big leaguer, but as a reliever, obviously. So Trevor, why don't you give me your two guys that I already know about, because you have a great love for these two players, but highlight your two favorite guys from this group for us.
Yeah, of course. I'll start with William Sutton, just because I know less about him than I do Skender, because I've watched a ton of Ethan Skender, and you know, focusing on him instead of William Sutton, who, you know, a lot of times they're on the same team. But William Sutton's just, you know, one of those athletic outfielders. You know, I like him. He's out of Eastern Carolina University, and really, beyond what he does on the field, what I like is just when he was on. I mean, he was one of the best hitters in minor leagues. The problem is he's on for a week, and then it's finding that consistency. And you know, if you know his name, you probably know it more so because you know, he set a record for getting hit in a game. You know, time to being hit by a pitch in a game. So it's less about his ability, but he's consistently getting better. And I know college bats, that's you hope that happens, you know, sooner than later. But with William Sutton, when he's shown that he can, you know, handle pitches and he can hit really well. So I think that if he finds just a little bit of consistency, I see, you know, him finding a way to be maybe a fourth outfielder contributor kind of guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that his biggest tool that he hasn't necessarily tapped into yet is the raw power. I've seen him hit some pretty deep home runs, you know, from college and into the minor league season. It just is a question mark as to how well that power is going to translate into game-like action. But I think Dwayne William Sutton, a guy who was a fifth-round pick, I think the Padres are invested in him and that we'll see him, you know, start to figure it out as he continues to go through the levels.
Absolutely. And Skender at number 50. You know, I don't know. I just love his story for starters, you know, being a 28th rounder from the 2016 draft, you're already fighting an uphill battle.
Yep.
And then you have a string of knee injuries that hold you out to where he debuted last year in 2019. So that was, you know, that adds to a huge uphill battle, but I, you know, finding Skender, I was watching, somebody else, I think I was watching Marcano or somebody, and I just saw Skender. I'm like, I like this guy. You know, he's got a good approach every time I've seen him. He's patient enough, and it doesn't look like he gets frazzled, whether, you know, if, when he's behind in the count. It's the same as if he's got a 3-0 count when he's 0-2. And that's because I think he's more geared toward contact than power. He's not going to have a ton of power, but he's got that smooth, compact swing. And in terms of that approach, in the scouting report I wrote for Friar Faithful Chronicle, I kind of compared him to Nick Madrigal in a way, just in terms of the approach.
Yep.
Obviously, Madrigal's got the elite hit tool that Skender doesn't have, but it's going to be a low walk rate, not a ton of swing and miss. He's just going to put the ball in play. And you know, I'm a sucker for athletic outfielders and compact swings that look smooth, and Skender checks one of those boxes.
It's kind of similar in a way to the guy you actually talked about prior in Tucapita Marcano, where probably has more power and athleticism than Marcano does, but he's not going to hit for a bunch of power. It's a singles approach, grinds at bats, works counts, gets on base, whatever he has to do, just kind of a gamer type player. But I think he's a guy that, you know, obviously most Padres fans have no idea who he is because, you know, 28th round pick in 2016, made his debut last year as a 23-year-old in Fort Wayne, but, you know, showed well. I think his game plays, and we'll see him continue to improve his stock as he continues to rise through the levels. My two guys here are going to be, well, so my type is either twitchy middle infielders or hard-throwing relievers, right? So Charlize Aquino, I think, is probably one of my favorite players in this entire system. 6'2", 165 guy that can definitely stick at short. Probably one of the best defenders in this entire system, and no one really knows about him. He's kind of like Skender in a way where, you know, it's hit tool over power. I think that there will be some raw pop that develops over time, probably 50 grade, maybe more towards 45, but definitely not a guy who's going to hit more than 20 bombs in a season at any point in his career. More of a doubles type of guy. He's athletic. He's quick. He's twitchy. He's fast on the bases. And I love his glove. And he can definitely play somewhere up the middle moving forward. Obviously, I have very high risk on him because he's 18 years old. And he's only played 4 games stateside. So this was the year where we were going to see him, you know, on the complex and potentially in the Midwest League or with Tri-City as the season went on. But intriguing to see what Charlius Aquino does. And then Dylan Coleman's kind of hard not to like. Obviously, I talked about him earlier, but he's 6'6", big dude. If he gets that velocity back, this is a guy who could get through the system pretty quickly. He's already 23, so he's older. And he just throws hard and can flip a hammer breaking ball in when he gets on top of it. So one more guy I'll kind of highlight here is Matt Brash, a guy who was a fourth round pick in 2018, I believe, out of Niagara University. So again, unconventional, not a big time school, but he knows how to pitch. Kind of a smaller dude, not like a physical presence on the mound. Throws hard, power slider that can be a swing and miss pitch. A guy that I think, you know, he was a starter in college. The Padres have pretty much embraced him in this relief role since he joined the club. And I think that if they keep him as a full-time reliever moving forward, he's a guy that could rise through the system pretty quickly and potentially make an impact at the big league level as early as late 2022, but probably somewhere in 2023 where he'll still be pretty young. So obviously this is a deep system. This is an interesting class. So some of these guys we'll never hear of, and they'll never make their big league debut or even reach Double A, but it's just kind of how it happens. But I think there are some interesting names in this group of prospects that we have here between 50 and 41.
Yes, there are. And you know what? I just want to pull out Dylan Coleman for just a minute, because we've talked about him a lot. We don't really agree on Dylan Coleman. I think you're a little more sold on him than I am.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I just looked at the numbers. I know I've watched him. It has been recently, so I can't pull out anything. I'm trying to look back on our conversation, but I can't really pull out any reason, you know, mechanically or anything like that. Why? But I know we differ, and obviously low end of the list, that's okay, and it's going to happen a lot. But, you know, why don't you just dive in on him just a tiny bit here and why you like him?
I think it's because I've seen what the velocity is at. Like, I saw him coming out of the draft throwing 98 miles an hour. And, you know, it's lively and it comes at you quick because he's such a big guy. And I've seen his curveball too, that same draft year, you know, it be a hammer pitch when he gets on top of it and really tunnels well and changes speed with that curveball. When you're throwing 98 miles an hour, it makes your off-speed pitches more effective, obviously. But yeah, I mean, this year he was underwhelming, and that's where we both saw him this year. And we both watched a couple of his innings, and he definitely wasn't good. And I'm pretty convinced it was because of the drop in velocity. So I'm just kind of banking on that coming back. Now, obviously, if that doesn't come back and I have high risk here, then I'm just going to look stupid. But that's kind of why I'm sold on him, because I've seen how effective he is when he throws gas. And the Padres made him a third or fourth round pick in the draft coming out of a mid-major school. So they believe in him too.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's Dylan Coleman. So now let's jump quickly in here to the second half of this, you know, lower tier group, we'll call them, of 31 to 50. So at 40, you have Omar Cruz, 39, Augustin Ruiz, 38 is Michael Geddes, Efrain Contreras at 37, Stephen Wilson, 36, Ivan Castillo, 35, Osvaldo Hernandez, 34, Gabe Mostert, 33. I'm going to botch this name. Egay Rosario at 32.
It's Eggy.
What?
It's Eggy Rosario.
It's all right. Eggy Rosario. There you go. I told you I was going to botch the name. I gave you fair warning. And at 31, Luis Gutierrez. And Luis Gutierrez actually is the first guy you give a 50 ceiling to.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll kind of go, because these guys are more interesting to me, obviously, because they're ranked higher. But I think there's some guys in this tier that could be big leaguers. Omar Cruz is like the 6 foot stout, sturdy left-hander that put up really good numbers at Fort Wayne. It's like a low 90s fastball, but he throws a lot of strikes, works down in the zone, and has feel for his curveball and changeup. So there's a starter's profile there. Augustin Ruiz, I went to a Tin Caps game last year and walked past this dude, and I'm like 5'11", like 205. And he's every bit of 6'2", 230, built like an absolute ox. I mean, just perfect baseball player-like power-hitting frame. doesn't really hit home runs. Like, I mean, that year when I saw him at Fort Wayne, did not hit a lot of home runs, but every out is loud. He led the Midwest League in doubles that year, or was leading the Midwest League in doubles for a large chunk of the season. Consistently barrels the ball. Plays right field right now. Again, not the best athlete for how big he is, but has a strong arm, and he's still super young and still growing into his body and learning how to use it. So I think Augustin Ruiz is an interesting guy to move forward here. Michael Geddes is kind of like a AAA all-star. The dude absolutely murdered the PCL last year. I think, you know, he can play center field and stick there, but he just strikes out too much, and I'm not entirely sure we'll ever see him be something at the big league level. Efrain Contreras, again, another guy like Omar Cruz, just a starter's profile, kind of a shorter dude, but he throws a lot of strikes and has a really cool nickname. His nickname is the Embalmer, so that's the coolest thing ever. Steven Wilson has missed a ton of bats in his professional career, including last year. He struck out like 80 guys in like 60-something innings pitched. He's a strikeout guy. He actually showed well in spring training this year. We have some video on him on our Twitter, so if you just look up FFC Steven Wilson, you'll see some good stuff there. I think he will be a big league reliever, whether it's with the Padres or someone else. Ivan Castillo was kind of like the unsung hero of last year's Texas League champion Amarillo Sod Poodles. Second baseman, left-hand hitting second baseman, kind of a scrappy gamer type, doubles power, competes every at bat. Osvaldo Hernandez was hurt last year, but a lot of people in the industry and people I talk to about the Padres are pretty high on him. He's put together some really good numbers with like Elsinore when he's healthy, and just a guy to monitor because he missed all of last year pretty much, and no one really talks about him. But starter's profile, projectable, 6'2", he's athletic. Gabe Moser, a guy who I've kind of been conducting the hype train on for a while now. True four-pitch mix. He throws a fastball, a changeup, a breaking ball, and a splitter. Saw him pitch in person last year against Beloit. Fills up the zone. I think he could stick as a starter long-term. Has this build. Still kind of a lankier dude, but you know he's been getting stronger and adding muscle onto his frame. Eggy Rosario was a big-time international prospect when he signed out of the Dominican. A lot of people like his bat. I like his bat, too. I'm not sure where he's going to play defensively, but you know, if you can hit, you're going to play. So he's a guy to monitor. Still super young. I'm pretty sure he's 20 years old and was at Lake Elsinore last year. So obviously playing advanced for his age. And then the big one for me here is Luis Gutierrez. I'm going to just kind of take the reins here and jump into my two guys that I want to talk about because he's one of them. So Luis Gutierrez signed last year out of Venezuela as a 16-year-old. Not many people really talking about him as kind of this big-time international prospect. He's like 87 to 89 from the left side with a really good curveball and feel for a changeup. Polished for his age, throws a ton of strikes. And again, it's a 16-year-old throwing 87 to 89 miles per hour. So if you compare that to 95% of all the ranked 16-year-old pitching prospects in the United States, he's probably throwing harder than them and he's left-handed. And if you put him, like, there was an interesting video that somebody had going on Twitter of a side-by-side comparison of him and Adrian Morahone's deliveries. They're super similar. His mechanics are sound. It's easy. There's room for him to mature and fill out that frame and obviously add more velocity once he starts obviously growing because he's still 16 years old, has plenty of maturing to do. But getting on a big league program and lifting, tons of strikes, athletic on the mound, repeats his delivery, and does all this with being so young. I have a 50 ceiling on him because I think he's a back-end guy, but I have a 30 realistic and a very high risk factor attached to that just because I'm not going to drop numbers like a 50 without attaching some very high risk to a 16-year-old kid that I've never seen play or has not made his professional debut yet. But I like Luis Gutierrez. I think he's probably one of the better arms from this international class. I probably would have, you know, had him over Brian Medina personally if I was doing rankings, but I guess it's just Medina throws 96 miles an hour and he's 16, so that's obviously going to play. And one guy I'll talk about as my second guy is going to be Ivan Castillo. Briefly touched on him, you know, when I was going through these dudes, but I just feel like this guy's game plays at the next level. Again, he's not going to be a starting second baseman for a winning team. This is a Greg Garcia type of utility player, left-handed bat off the bench, but he's scrappy. He competes. He's a solid defender. If someone needs a day off, he can move over to shortstop and play it admirably. I think the bat plays, the approach plays, every good team has a versatile gamer, scrappy left-handed bat coming off their bench. So those are my two guys that I'll go to bat for here in this group.
Yeah, I'm going to pull out one. This group, admittedly, I'm not the most versed on, so I'm not going to start preaching things that turn out to be very incorrect. So I'm just going to pull out Michael Geddes from this group because mostly just because he's interesting.
Yeah.
He's a former second-round pick, and he's always hit pretty well. He has the massive swing and miss to his game. I think he struck out something like 30% of the time last year.
Yeah.
And he very much enjoyed, hitter's heaven in El Paso. Was it 31 home runs last year? I mean, I think you're right. I don't know that he'll play at the next level. He might turn into a 4A guy, but showing that power, I mean, it's just interesting in a lot of different aspects. So I think a lot would have to happen for him to find his way to San Diego in terms of injuries. But, I mean, he's kind of just hanging around there. And I think he's kind of one of those guys who's always sitting, within 5 to 10 spots of being in everyone's top 30 list.
Yeah, I mean – I think you hit it right on the head with Geddes there. Again, guy who I think is a 4A guy. But if he could just figure it out at the plate and cut the swings and misses by – or not swing and misses, just like the strikeout rate by 10%, like he'd be so much better. He would be – he'd probably be like a fourth outfield type. He can play the outfield all three spots and there's big-time power. He just can't make contact with the ball at a consistent enough rate. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's it, right? I think we're good with this group here.
I think we are. I am going to pose to you one question out of this group, 31 to 50. So I know that 31, who's the biggest riser you see this year? I'm assuming you're going to say, I think I know who you're going to say, but who's your biggest riser, do you think, by this time next year?
By this time next year, who's going to be the highest ranked out of this group?
Yeah.
Luis Gutierrez, by far. I would put Luis Gutierrez as my top guy. Honestly, Osvaldo Hernandez could get up there too because he was hurt last year. And Eggy Rosario, if he figures it out, could also, rise pretty far. Dwayne Williams Sutton will be a top 30 guy next year. But I think once we see Gutierrez come over here and start to perform on the complex or in the DSL – and there's video of him, I will go with Luis Gutierrez.
All right. You heard it here first, Luis Gutierrez. And I'm going to pose one more question to you that has nothing to do with this list. I know you've had a lot of focus, not on the draft, right? So Padres pick at 8, I believe it is.
Yeah.
So who's your dream at 8? Who's your dream draft prospect at 8?
Oh, fuck, dude. Dream draft prospect, Zach Veen. Zach Veen probably be my dream draft guy. I think that it's very possible he falls to 8. If Zach Veen is gone, I've been hyping up Garrett Crochet from Tennessee for a very long time. We actually did a feature piece on Garrett Crochet for the site when I was kicking off, who could the Padres possibly take at 8, which will be a series that will continue sooner rather than later. I think that Jared Kelly would be an interesting one. He's the top prep on my board. But if Zach Veen is gone, then most certainly I would take Garrett Crochet at 8. I was talking to Ralph Lifshitz, Prospect Jesus, the other day because he did a scouting report at Prospects Live for Garrett Crochet. And he didn't have the nuts to say this, but we talked about it. There's a lot of Chris Sale in Garrett Crochet. So I think taking him at 8 would be the smart thing to do if I'm the Padres.
And I'll go ahead and agree with you on Zach Veen.
Yeah.
Not a guy that I knew much about, really, because the draft is not necessarily my strongest suit. But you've pointed out a few guys, and of them, I think Zach Veen is I can't get over that swing, man.
His ceiling is Christian Yelich. Like, his ceiling and athleticism and the swing and the – I mean, it's a potential 60-60 power hit guy. It's Christian Yelich. That's his ceiling. So, I mean, if you get him at 8, obviously there's risk with, you know, any prep player, even if it's a left-handed hitting outfielder. But the ceiling is Christian Yelich. So I don't think you can go wrong with that.
Absolutely. And I think that's going to do it for us here on this podcast. Make sure to follow Deegs, Diego_Solares73 on Twitter. You can find me at Huth Trevor on Twitter. And, of course, we'll be back with more. We're going to keep working through this list. It'll be 30-11 the next time we come back around.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.